We are going to be a lot in the book of Proverbs this morning. So why don't you go ahead and turn there and keep your place in Proverbs, because Proverbs are just so good. And we're talking about wisdom today, and there's just so much wisdom in Proverbs. So we're going to look first at Proverbs 1, verse 5. And I think I've even brought this up over the last couple of weeks, this same scripture a couple of times, but it's good. It says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." And so really what this is saying is a wise man or woman, a wise person, will put themselves in a place of hearing. And so, of course, we've all done that this morning. We're here and we're putting ourselves in a place where we can hear, first of all. And our goal is to increase our learning, right? And the Bible says in Proverbs that that is wise, that that's wisdom. And so when we think about that, that's God's definition of how we gain wisdom. We get in a place where we can hear. We get in a place where we can receive and our learning. So we've made that first step here, but it's not just today, right? It's not just when I'm putting on a Zoom meeting or we have a church service, but in our own lives, we have to get to the place where we're going to hear from God. So setting that time aside, you know, that's why I wanted to do this early morning devotional. So before we start our day, before we get the chaos, before we get all the things on our plate that we have to accomplish, we get to a place where we can hear to increase our learning. And it says, a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And so that's our goal of these meetings, of these devotionals. You know, I call it devotional. Really, we could say it's a Bible study, or really just coming together to hear from God. But our goal is to increase our wisdom, increase our understanding, and get to that place where we can hear from Him. Here, my husband and I have been talking a lot, and it's been on my heart a lot, and I'm seeing a lot during this time that the enemy has some tactics. You know, we know that this pandemic, this disease, this sickness didn't come from God creating it to punish His people, but we do know that God is using it during this time to open our eyes to some things, to get us to a place where we understand the importance of Him. But really what's happening at this time is a lot more than just the sickness. What's happening at this time is people are getting isolated, people are in their homes more, people are out of their local church. And we're noticing that really what the Bible says here about a wise man will hear and increase learning, we're noticing that people aren't getting in that place where they're hearing and receiving the right counsel right now. People are in this place where they are left to their own devices or left to what comes on the media. And it's just, it's not been a good situation for people in that way. The pandemic, the illness, of course that's bad. But the things that are going on in the minds of people are even more dangerous right now. And so we want to be people that heed the direction of the Word of God. And we want to be people that understand what the enemy is trying to do here. Let's go to Proverbs 18. And I'm actually going to read it in the Amplified, but you can read it in whatever Bible you have. And I always say, if I keep going and you have to get off because you have to be somewhere at 7:30 and there's more scripture that I'm going to, that's fine. Don't feel bad about that. But Proverbs 18 and verse 1, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, "He who willfully separates and estranges himself from God and man, seeks his own desire and pretext to break out against all wise and sound judgment. A self-confident fool has no delight in understanding, but only in revealing his personal opinions and himself." And what we're finding is people are often, right now during this time, they're being left to their own devices. And when we sit around by ourselves, talking to ourselves, thinking about things ourselves all the time, we think we figure things out. And we think we have the wisdom. We think we know it. We know the answer. We know the right way. We know what's right and what's wrong. But the word says we need to seek godly counsel. We need to get in a place to hear from him. And so what's happening are two things right now. People are being isolated and they're left to their own devices. Yeah. And they are figuring things out themselves, which the Bible says is foolish. Being a fool. Or they're letting the media and the wrong counsel guide them. And the enemy knew that when, you know, churches were going to be closed down, that there's going to be a lot of people right now who aren't going to know what to do. And it's the perfect time to get them. It's the perfect time to trap them. It's the perfect time to walk about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's open doors right now. And we just want to make sure that we are the voice of reason and wisdom according to the word of God, that we're not thinking that we know it all, that we don't get to this place where we can't be taught from the word, that we don't get to this place where we let the media be our God. We have to make sure that we are seeking his counsel and getting to the place where his word is what rules in our hearts and our minds. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Proverbs 12. Praise the Lord. There's just so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. It says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." And I have here, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes equals pride. But he who heeds counsel is wise," and I have equals correctable.
Yes.
So as we seek counsel of the word, we're being correctable. We're saying, "God, you know more than me. I don't know everything, and I want to know what you have for me to know. I want to know what you have for me to do. I don't want to just be left to my own devices. I don't think I know it all. I know I don't know it all." Verse 16, it says, "A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit." We want to be the people who speak truth. You know, right now there is so much temptation to get into bashing our governor, bashing our president, bashing, you know, other people. I have seen more and more during this time fingers pointed and neighbors turning on neighbors more than I ever have. You know, I always say that when there's a tough situation, it brings out the best in some people and the worst in others.
Yep.
We want to make sure as Christians that every situation, every trial brings out the best in us. Who are we? If we are not real Christians during a trial, then we are not real Christians.
That's right.
So we need to make sure that we are not being foolish, that we're not being wise in our own eyes, that we understand that God's way is the only way for us.
Amen.
The only way.
Yeah.
I love this. In here, let me read the word wrath, a fool's wrath. That word wrath, listen to this. It means anger and frustrations. It means provoking. So you can see when a fool has been provoked.
We are seeing
that because a fool who's been provoked, what do? They start spouting off at the mouth. About how much they know and how everybody else is wrong, and they know what to do.
Ooh.
This is a problem. Amen. Now, see, these are the underlying things that are going on in our culture and in the body of Christ, and we think this is about an illness. This is about much more than an illness.
Yeah.
And when Satan fell from heaven originally, because Satan was God's creation, right? When he fell, why did he fall? Because he was prideful, because he was wise in his own eyes, because he was foolish. He was a self-confident fool.
Yeah.
And his wrath, his provoking was seen for all. And now he's spouting off at the mouth all the time, trying to get Christians out of the will of God, trying to get Christians deceived. we have to be better than that. We have to recognize and not, we have to be aware of the devil's devices. Amen. And that is one of the devices that I think we're not aware of enough. We think we thought the thought, so it must be right. No, not true. Yeah.
People's decisions.
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, like when people always question other people's decisions, but they haven't had to make those decisions.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, that's what I mean. Right now we're seeing finger pointing all the time. You know, you may, if you have kids, maybe you've been familiar with this. Maybe you've had your kids out in public and you've corrected them and someone else has said to you, you can't correct your kid like that. Or
amen.
Maybe you've been boss of a department or you've been over something and somebody else disagrees with the way you're running things. Until somebody has to walk in it, they don't know what they would do.
That's right.
And so being very self-confident and very foolish, if we think I could do it better and I would do it this way, you don't know what you would do if you were in that situation.
Amen.
What you would do. And it's really not our place to say,
amen,
hey, you do it this way. What gives us the authority? I mean, really, it's just self-confidence, and it's what the Bible says is foolish. It's foolish for us to
amen.
And so we need to be aware of that. That's what the devil did. He was like, I could do better at being God, right? And we can't do better at being God. Let's go to Proverbs 3. We bring this scripture up a lot in our church, and it's good for us. It's such good, my husband calls it scriptures for life.
What's that one?
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. I know this. When I was trying to figure out life for myself, I wasn't doing that great at it. You know,
nope.
I want God's path. I want to know what God has for me to do. And so in this time, I say trust in the Lord and do good. But part of that is we need to stop leaning on our own understanding.
That's right.
We can't do good and we can't trust in God if we are continually leaning on our own thoughts. We can't.
Amen.
We have to rely on godly counsel. We have to rely on the word of God. And I have here, part of trusting in the Lord is trusting in the ways that he has set up for you to be taught and for you to gain wisdom and revelation.
That's right.
And of course, a huge part of that is your local church. We are called to come together. We are noticing in this time ever. When I get to talk with people on Zoom or in the parking lot or over the phone or text message or people reaching out on Facebook, people are missing their local church.
Yep.
They are missing the assembling together of the brethren. They are missing something that you can't get just over a screen or over the phone or sitting listening on the radio. You can't get the same understanding, the same revelation. There's a like precious faith that is built up by being together. And of course, that's part of what's going on right now. And that's why I'm addressing this topic of not getting in that place where we're leaning on our own understanding. It's a very challenging thing right now because we are not, we're so used to just having the word and our church and, you know, the gospel so readily available to us. And walking into a church has been so, I mean, never in my life have I ever heard of churches in America not having open doors, never, you know, and so it's this thing that we have to guard right now more than even, you know, it's almost like wearing a mask for our faith. You know, we've got to protect these things in our life that we know are what makes us tick, that keeps us successful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. My notes keep turning off. Okay, we're going to go to James. Oh, I love this. James 1. And the heading of this part of my Bible is called Qualities Needed in Trials. Isn't that awesome? I love when the word will put, like, when the people who translated the Bible put, like, little headings on there because it's really neat how that connects. But yeah, qualities needed in trial. We're looking at James 1:19. Oh my goodness. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Remember, slow to being provoked. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Mm. Let every man be swift to hear. We want to make sure, and what it really means is swift to hear the truth.
Yes, amen.
Right? But slow, amen. Slow to speak. You, the first time you hear something should not be, well, my opinion is. First, let's hear it. And then let's chew on it a little while. Let's make sure we understand what's going on. You know, I've been talking to some of our precious people over the last few weeks about the things that are coming on the news and how really the news is producing a lot of fear and torment in people and a lot of distrust in our leadership and different things like that. And what it does is it gets you kind of stirred up and anxious, anxiety, gets you into this like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Is all hope lost? And we need to hear, but then we need to chew on what we're hearing and make sure we can decipher what's truth and what's not truth. And before we start speaking, because you know that our words produce. So, you know, the word says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Right? So those that love it will eat the fruit of it. Well, if you're speaking negative all the time, you're going to eat the fruit of that too. And if you're speaking fear and distrust and conspiracy, I don't know, there may be some things going on behind the scenes, probably are, you know, there's probably some things going on in leadership that aren't right. Probably. But yeah. That's not what we're going to focus on. We're not going to focus on the conspiracies and the fear.
Amen.
We're going to focus on the word of Amen. God. So be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to being provoked, for that wrath, that provoking does not produce the righteousness of God. You all know as well as I know that when you're provoked and you just start spewing off at your mouth, you regret what you said later.
Amen.
We all know that.
Amen. So, amen, amen.
The qualities needed to be successful in trial are being quick to hear, amen. But slow to speak. Amen. We've been noticing, like I said, the media and the problem with all this media and all this. I mean, we love technology. We're thankful for it for things like this. But if it's constantly running in your household and this is constantly being fed to you, you know, you're going to listen to whatever voice is the loudest. Growing up, I used to watch the show Survivor. My parents liked it, and I liked the competition of it. I'm not recommending going watching it. There's probably extra drama that doesn't need to be in there. But one of the games I remember that they used to play is they would get all the teams in this big field, and they would blindfold all the contestants except for one person from each team. And then the leaders of that team, they'd stand on a podium and they'd yell, go left, go right, keep going, five steps, three steps. And what would happen though, is they'd have all the teams would have their spokesperson or their director all speaking at the same time. And so you'd see these other team members and they'd be going, what? And whatever voice was the loudest is what they would follow. Because that's the only one they could hear. And so if we let the wrong voices that's be so loudest good. In our lives, amen. That is who we will follow. So see, amen. That's the thing with not being in the place where we hear, with not getting to the word regularly, with not, you know, if you're tempted, if you want to listen to something, stick on a good sermon. Don't turn on the news. We know what the news is saying. Hey, can you just tell us when this whole thing is over? We can go back to church. We can go back to work. I know it's all going on. I know what I'm going to hear when I turn the media on. Just tell me when it's over. I'll be a good citizen, but just tell me when it's all over. I want to make sure my focus and the voice talking to my life is the loudest voice is God's voice. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go. Let me just remind you, you don't have to turn there, but write this down. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. It says, and just this is just kind of a the end of 6:19 and the beginning of 6 or of 20. It says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a precious and paid, purchased with preciousness and paid for, made his own. So it says, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. But what I want to remind us of is our life is not about us. We were bought with a price. We do not belong to us anymore. So, you know, these things that we're talking about, this is not just about us. If we as Christians are heeding the wrong voices, if we as Christians are listening to wrong, you know, either ourselves all the time or the media or the public society, whatever it is, if we're heeding the wrong voices and being directed by the wrong voices, how can we be a light to other people? How can we go out and win other people? See, the devil knows what he's doing. He's trapping Christians into this stupor along with everybody else. And so we're not being effective in reaching other people. We need to guard these things. We need to take heed how we hear. We need to be slow to speak. We need to make sure that when we're saying things, we're saying the right things. If we're on social media and we're always sharing conspiracy and we're always sharing negativity, what does that say to people?
That's right.
What are we doing to the people out there? We are not our own. We were bought with a price. We have work to do. And it's not that hard. It's not hard at all, in fact, to just keep ourselves, guard ourselves, and make sure that what we put out there is positive. You know, there have been things that I've shared, and then I've gone back and said, you know, it wasn't wrong that I shared that. It wasn't wrong, but was it positive? Should I have that there? And then I'm quick to realize that maybe not. If I question it, then maybe I shouldn't be saying it. Let's go back to Proverbs, and we should do that in our own homes too, you know. If you have a thought, if you have a thought that you want to say something negative to somebody, think, if somebody said that to me, how would I take it? Yeah. You know, we gotta guard these things. Whoops. Siri, my watch is talking to me. When I said, how would I take it? She started looking that up. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 11:14. It says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And what that means with counsel is that actually means good advice. It's not like, yeah, I got to go out and get, you know, lots of people to tell me their opinion. It's not talking about that. It says, when there is no good advice, the people fall. But in the multitude of really of good advice givers, of godly advice givers, there's safety. In the multitude of the of being taught the word, when you have the right voice of the word of God in your life and active in your life, and this is the loudest, this is the one who's got the boisterous voice saying, take two steps to the left. That when you've got that, you are going the opposite of fall is you're going to keep standing. You're going to keep going where you need to go. And so we need to, like I said, like I'm just going to keep reiterating, we need to heed the good advice. You know, we've said to our kids for years and years and years, we've used this example. If you have an ailment or an illness in your body, you are not going to the McDonald's drive-thru and asking them what about your symptoms. You're going to go to a doctor. You're going to go to the right place. If you have an ailment, if I broke my leg, I'm not going to McDonald's and saying, hey, can I have some fries and can you put a cast on my leg? You know, I'm going to go to the doctor because they know what they're talking about. Gosh, when I need to know the answer for what's going on in society, I am not going to Fox News or MSNBC.
Come to your husband.
I'm going to my husband. I'm going to the Word of God. I'm going to the right source for my answer, for my help. With good counsel, with good advice, people don't call, they're safe. They're safe. And so we want to be, first of all, people who heed good advice. Second of all, people who give good advice. Let's go to Proverbs 19. Skip over there. I told you we'd be in Proverbs a lot. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. See, God saw this as so important that he repeated it again and again and again. It says, listen, Proverbs 19, 20, it says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. That means the more life, the more time in your life that you put into getting good counsel, the more wisdom you have as you grow older. We were listening to some interesting, it was this interesting study they had done where they saw who was the most intelligent generation or decade of people. So like they took people in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, their 60s. They found that the most intelligent or able to creatively solve a problem were people in their 20s and in their 60s. And the people in between didn't match up. And I thought, that's interesting. And what the study showed was people in their 20s, their brains were just learning how to be creative. Had it been tainted by all the garbage, really.
Yeah.
But the people in their 60s had learned through wisdom of experience.
Yeah.
And so what the scripture's saying here, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. The more good counsel that you put into your life and into your hearing and into your understanding, the more wisdom you have as time goes on. I love
Amen.
That. I think that that Amen. Is just what I love that God had that in his word, that he showed us that in his word, that as we continue to put this to practice, we just grow more and more wisdom. It isn't like every day we start at point A. No, we're walking and we're learning wisdom. And then when the trial comes, we have all this in our back pocket that we can solve it. We can get beyond it because we've put that in. I love the word of God. I know I'm going over my time, but that is the last scripture I'm going to go to. But I have this. We need to not only be people who seek God's counsel for our own lives, but we need to help others seek God's counsel for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So in this time, this is the perfect opportunity for us to be witnesses to others. It is a perfect chance. People are in fear. You know, and as a church, the reason we wanted to comply and do right, you know, by the CDC and follow these guidelines, it's not because we were in fear of the virus, but because we want to make sure that we take into consideration the way people who don't have faith are feeling and experiencing this right now. We need to be empathetic people. We need to understand that not everybody has faith to conquer a virus. They can't even conquer a common cold. They're afraid they don't have their electric bill money. You know, they can't. This is a scary time for our society. We have to be the voice of wisdom. We have to be a voice of love. We have to be a voice of good, godly counsel.
Yes.
And so yes. I encourage you with that. We need to make sure we're guarding what we put in so that we're guarding what comes out of us. Do you understand? So
yes.
We're members of this
Amen.
Body. We're in this together. If we all say, you know what, this is our goal of our local church, that we're going out into the community and we are being a light. That's what Jesus said we were to do. That's why Jesus came and left. He put that in us so that we could go out and reach people. But we have to guard this very important thing in our life. We have to guard that. Or it's going to show, and it's not going to reach people. It's going to do the opposite.